Our reading from Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 12. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, and with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. I invite you to stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. From Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 6 through 18, 16 through 18. The words of Jesus. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your face, on your head, and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you for this time that we have to seek your face with the promise that as we seek you, we find you, and you make yourself known to us. Lord, we ask you to take your ancient word, your word of truth, and by your Spirit, Lord, apply it to our hearts, that our hearts would be changed, and that with changed hearts, we will live differently in this world. So come, Lord, speak into each one of our hearts and to us together, forming us as your people into your likeness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a really awesome text study on Tuesday. As I said to the group that gathered via Zoom for that, it always feels a little bit disappointing to try to preach after that, because after 2 hours of studying these texts so in depth, there's just so much to them, and there's so little that we can share now. But I asked people, give me just a summary of what we've heard in our texts. What do you think the summary statement is? And I think it was Gwen who said, get real. Yeah. Get real before God. Get real with ourselves. Get real with one another. In our reading from Isaiah, the prophet is continuing to confront the people who have returned after 70 years in exile. They went into exile because they weren't listening to what God was speaking to them in his word and through his prophets. They were living in a society that was unjust and immoral and idolatrous. And so the Lord had raised up prophets warning them, this is not the way of life. Warning them, if you don't turn back to the Lord, your society is going to crumble and you'll be overtaken and some of you will be taken away. But they hadn't listened to the prophets, and that great exile had taken place. But the Lord had promised that he would bring them back, and he had. And now as they were getting reestablished in their homeland, they were back to their old ways. They seemed to honor God. Day after day, they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. But it was an external show. Because they were going through religious motions, fasting and prayer and worship and almsgiving, and yet they were still mean as snakes. They're oppressing their workers. They're cruel to one another. They speak against one another, harsh words, and even lift their hands towards one another in violence. These who were to be the people representing God in the world. And it was not how God wanted to be represented. They were going through the motions of religiosity, but it wasn't affecting their heart. And the reality is, whatever we truly believe and whatever is in our heart, that is what is going to be coming out. Oh, we can clean up the outside for a little while around some people, but eventually, what's in there is going to get expressed. Jesus also talked with the people. about not just putting on a religious show, no matter how impressive it might be to other people. If it wasn't a matter of the heart, wouldn't impress God at all. Be careful that you don't practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Now, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that Jesus makes all of this warning about don't be doing stuff just so that other people see, and then here we have a cross on our forehead that we can't actually see ourselves. It's actually for other people to see. It's a little kind of interesting how we do that on Ash Wednesday. Jesus is not saying, don't let your faith show up in public. What he is saying is, don't be out trying to impress other people with your religiosity. Get real with God. Then you won't need to be blowing your own horn, because that changed heart is going to find its expression in your closest relationships and even out in public. Some time ago, Todd and I were out visiting Grace in North Dakota. We went to a restaurant that it was a very interesting setup. Let's just say that everything that was going on in the kitchen was both visible and audible. And the owner of the restaurant was apparently in a foul mood and quite upset with one of his workers. And he went on and on and on and on, loudly and vulgarly, beating up this poor man. I don't know what he'd done wrong, but nobody needed to get treated like that. Let me just say that if I lived in that town, I would not go back to that restaurant, because that was uncomfortable for everybody. But Todd made an interesting observation that night. That guy is like that in public. Imagine what he's like at home. But isn't that sad? That people might be more concerned with what strangers think about them than those who are dearest to them? But in fact, that's often what we end up doing. Not just in our own family and friendships, but even with God. By the thoughts that we think, the words that we speak, the actions that we do. Just not concerned enough about how God feels about that. The one who loves us more than anyone else ever could. Sometimes, though, it's that we don't even realize how messed up our hearts are, how twisted our thoughts and our attitudes are. And so we might even think that we're honoring God in the ways in which we are out and about in the world. Because sometimes we'll get a lot of praise and encouragement from like-minded people. And yet God might be saying, don't put my name on that. See, Jesus isn't saying, don't give publicly. He's saying, don't do it to impress other people. He's not saying don't fast. He's saying, when you fast, don't try to be getting sympathy or admiration from others. This is about your connecting with me. When you pray, it's not saying don't pray out in public. It's don't be praying to try to impress other people and not even actually connecting with me in this conversation that's supposed to be with me, God says. I want you to notice that. That he says, when you give, when you fast, and when you pray. Not if. So do we have to? Have to? No. But why wouldn't we? Well, because generally we like to eat. We like to eat what we want and when we want and how much we want. And that's all about us. And God's inviting us to turn away from this focus on self, on this need to have things our way, and get to know him and his ways. Which is also why he invites us into this almsgiving. Now let me just make really clear that almsgiving is different than tithing. Yeah, God invites us to tithe so that we can discover again he is our source. And for us to discover again that all we have is actually his. And so we return that first 10% to him as just a way of getting things in proper order. Not that that impresses him that we do that, but it helps order things for us. But then the almsgiving is the giving above and beyond what we've already set aside to return to him in the tithe. The almsgiving is where we see others in need. There's situations that God's saying, yeah, you can bless them. You can take care of that one. And sometimes that little attitude in it is like, I think I've probably given enough. Think that maybe somebody else could handle that one. I think I already have some plans for this extra 3%. And in that, we start to discover again the ways in which we are bound instead of free. The Lord is wanting to invite us into a freedom and a vitality of life that comes from being centered on and in him rather than having ourselves at the center. You know, the call in Lent is to generosity. And you know, we usually think about that word in terms of finances. And if the idea of being invited to give more kind of makes you squeeze inside, that's probably something God wants to be talking with you about. But you know, there's other ways for us to learn to be generous. How generous are we with our words of encouragement? Because some of us are awfully generous with words of criticism. How generous are we with our time? How generous are we? We who carry the name of the Lord, who so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, in all of this Lenten season, we're invited to remember again how loved we are by a perfect and holy God who invites us to bear and to be his image in the world. And he's inviting us to get free from these things that have us bound, that don't lead to life, and to trust him and to be changed by him so that his life and his character grows up in us and gets released through us. How do we do that? Well, we can read the Bible, and we can pray, and we can give, and we can fast. And if we're trying to do it all so that we make these changes, we're just right back to us as the center of it all. It's not about what we do. It's about us being real with Him and Him doing that work in us and through us. So it's not about a list of the things that you must, but the invitation to the things that you can share with the Lord and share with the Lord's people, worshiping together, praying together, joining together and finding problems and issues and needs and opportunities that together we can address so that the Lord's name is known and the people discover the goodness of God. You can fast from food, or you could fast from criticism, or you could fast from the things that occupy your time and your energy that mean you don't have the time just to sit and enjoy the Lord's presence. One of the things we noted in Tuesday Bible study is there's so much more that we get out of Scripture in studying it together, in hearing the insights that God gives the different people, reading out of their different translations, but also the insights that different people have just based on their life experiences. Oh, we can receive and we can give in community. And we can be built up individually and we can be built up together. And do you know that that is what God has always wanted? Yes, each one of us in personal, deep and intimate connection, relationship with Him, but He has always been about forming a people who will represent Him in the world. And that's why even in Isaiah, He's not just talking to individuals. He's saying, as a nation, you are allowing injustice and oppression. And you think that I should bless your nation, and yet you won't follow my ways. Oh my goodness, this word, this ancient word, speaks to us today. It's a living word from the living God who wants us to live fully alive. And that means being shaped by His word and His spirit. That means coming into a repentance, which is not just feeling bad about what we've done and what we're not. It's coming into agreement with what God says is the way of life. The way of life, as God sees it, some very different values than our society. And so as we read the word and we talk together in community, led by the Spirit, oh, there's going to be some sore spots touched on that make us a little uncomfortable. And then we get to decide, are we going to humble ourselves with one another? And are we going to humble ourselves before God and let Him set us free? Are we going to let Him build us up with His life so we can represent Him? Oh, you see, the thing about sin is it deceives us. And the problem with being deceived is we're so deceived we don't realize the deception. But the Lord, who is the way and the truth and the life, wants to lead us in the way of truth and life, not just for our own good, but for the sake of the world that He so loves. So in this Lenten season, I invite you, I urge you, get real with God. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with one another. And let the Holy Spirit release and wash away. And let him implant and build up. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his Son, the redeeming sacrifice, because you individually, you together, are worth it to him. Blessings on your Lent.